I have picked a reading from Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 16. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him to the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What a powerful reading. Wow. You know, and he's done exactly the same for us. He's prepared a place for us. And his word tells us, though we are in this world, we're not of it. And I like that Billy Graham, when he was promoted to heaven, and he says, I haven't died, I've just changed my address. And it's so true. You know, and if you love the Lord, I'm sure, like me, you're looking forward to seeing what your accommodation's like there. It's going to be better than 5-star, I can tell you that, or nothing. Okay, let's pray then. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and your blessings. And Lord, I just pray that you'll use me as your mouthpiece this morning. Take everything that I have written and take away from it what you don't want me to say. And use me with your power and with your authority, Lord, to speak to the hearts of each and every one who hears this message. Lord, you've got something to say to each one of us. We all need a touch from you. So I commend this message to you, Lord, and ask for your help and your power and your blessing to deliver it with your special blessing on each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm entitled this message, it's quite simple, Faith. What is faith? And why is faith so important to us as Christians? Well, I think if we look back at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it makes it very clear. It reads, "And without fear, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But if it's so simple, why do people find it so hard to accept? I've often wondered that. I was one of those, found it so hard to accept for quite a few years until the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of me. But let's explore what's required. It's one thing to talk about our faith in the Lord, but it's another thing to act upon it. And I want to ask a question this morning. You don't need to answer me, just answer yourself. Give yourself the answer. Do you have faith? Is it strong? Do you realize the importance of a strong faith? You know, we need to exercise our faith, not just pack it away and bring it out on a Sunday. We need to exercise it daily if we want to grow. And it's most important because it's only by faith that we can hope to cope. That's it. Make a hope to cope with our daily struggles. And if we want to grow into the person that God wants us to be. And the only way we can grow into that person is through the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from whom we get that faith. This morning I simply want us all to fully understand the importance of the confidence that we can have in our faith. As we consider these five statements, and I've broken into five statements derived from our morning's reading from chapter 11, 1 to 16. The first one, faith is believing, even when we can't see it. Because if you can see something, you don't really need faith in it, do you? You know, if you know that somebody's going to turn the television over for you, you don't need to have faith in it. You can see them grabbing the remote and turn it over. But if you can't move and get it and you want to watch something else on, well, you can have as much faith as you want. But if it's not the right person, you won't get it moved. This morning, I want to just look at what I say about sound. It sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Believing in something that you can't see. How can you believe in something that you can't see? It sounds like a contradiction to the world, but the Bible teaches us that faith is visualizing the future in the present. It's being sure of what you don't see, and it's about seeing in advance. Man says seeing is believing. It's true, we've only heard a saying, isn't it? You know, seeing's believing. I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah, we've all said it from time to time. But God says believing is seeing. When you consider all of the advancements in technology, in medicine, in whatever field you want to look at, and the way it's developed over your lifetime and my lifetime, you know, we need to look back and see, whenever I was a child, a lot of the stuff that's going on today in technology and in medicine, it wasn't available. It didn't happen. And for it to happen, someone had to have a vision. Someone had to believe that it was possible. Someone had to put in the graft, put in the study. And you know, if you're a Christian, and when you look at a lot of the important things that have happened, the people who developed them give thanks for God's guidance. Even in hindsight later on, you know, they realize that it wasn't of their own doing, because all they've done is found something which was already there. And God has already created it. There's nothing in this world that God has not created. And all he does is he leads us to the way of putting it into practice for our advantage. What a wonderful God we've got. And a lot of people don't even realize that it's through the faith and the hard work of these people they get that, to make their idea become a reality. They have to have faith in their idea and believe it's possible, or it won't happen. To a Christian, faith is simply trusting God to turn his promises into reality. It's important that we understand that nothing can nor will happen until we believe it's possible. We need to remember what Scripture says in Matthew 19:26, when Jesus talking to the disciples, Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Let me ask you, what do you see in your future? What's your dream? I know it's hard. It's a hard question to ask. It's a hard question to answer yourself. You know, for yourself, what's in your mind? What impossible thing could God have in store for me to do next? Will I be capable of doing it? And we worry about things, don't we? Sometimes we hear the Lord saying, "I want you to do this." And just like some people in the past in our scripture readings have said, "Who, me, Lord? I can't do that." We've just read it. What's impossible to man is possible to God. Nothing's impossible with him. And we need to take that on board when he speaks to us and gives us a task to perform. Don't be afraid. Yes, you will struggle, probably, to start with. But if you step out in faith, he will keep you afloat. It's only when you take your eyes off him that you'll start sinking into the sea like the disciple did on the waves in the Galilee. You know, but we need to remember God has prepared or is preparing stuff for us to do. As my old friend Jeremiah, and you'd be disappointed if I didn't mention him, 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future." So don't be worried when the Lord asks you to do something. Will he support you? He's got a plan for you. And if he's asking you to do something, you can be sure that it's in his plan for you to do it. And you will get a blessing the sooner you respond to it than waiting until you're broken and you give in and you go do it. You'll still get a blessing, but it'll take you a wee bit longer to get there. But faith really is taking ownership of that promise that he has got a plan for you, plan to prosper you and not to harm you. And not only that promise, but all of God's promises. You need to remember that all of his promises are yes and amen. Right, that's believing when we can't see it. So let's move to point number two. Faith is obeying even when we don't understand it. We've touched a little bit on that towards the end of that one. We don't understand it, or we think we won't be able to meet the task or cope. We need to remember, as we said, that with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. It's important that we never forget that. because it's one part of Scripture which we can always refer to when we feel that things are difficult. Remember that we know someone who doesn't know what difficulty is. It's not in his vocabulary, it's in ours. I'm sure, like me, when you were a child, your parents will have asked you to do something that you didn't really want to do. Like, put your toys away, it's time to for bread. Yeah, I know, we've all been there, we've all done it. And a lot of the times it didn't make sense. Why do I need to put it away? I'm going to bed. I can go to bed. It'll be there in the morning when I get up. I can play with it again. But, you know, their mothers want the place tidy. You know, they don't want open. Maybe get a visitor coming in, so tidy the place up. You know, but then, later on, when you grow up and you experience the same things that your parents were going through, and you've got kids of your own, later, as I say, with a bit of maturity and a bit of hindsight, it becomes, it occurs to you, well, Mum and Dad were really pretty wise, pretty switched on. It was me was out of key. And we need to recognise that. We need to recognise that God is just the same. He wants us to put things in order, to do things when he tells us. And it's for our good, not for his good. It's for to grow us and to help us become the person that he has planned for us to become. We need to react to God's instructions if we are to fulfill the plans that he has for each one of us and prepare us. Moving on to the third point. Faith is giving when we can least afford it. Now, this isn't a treasurer's bit. This is what faith is. God can use our finances, you know, to test us. We talked about it on Wednesday in Bible study. Have you, don't answer me, just answer yourself. Have you ever had to consider whether you cut your tithe because you've got a bill, unexpected bills arrived on the mat? Or do you go ahead and fulfill your commitment to the Lord? I know at times it can be difficult. It depends where you are and the stage in your life and how many mouths you've got to feed and how little or how much you've got to do it. Ponder, could God be testing your faith in such times as those to see if you trust him to meet your needs or whether you're just relying on your wealth or your resources, your own resources? You know, there are two ways that we can give. And it's not just about finances, it's about our time as well, because we need to give time to the Lord if we're going to grow our faith. Because where do we get the faith from? By being in communication with him, listening to his voice, reading his word, meditating upon it, and getting fed from it. In either case, you can either give in fear, or you can give by faith. Two F's, faith and fear. I trust that we all give in faith and not in fear, because the Lord isn't going to beat you with a big stick. You're just going to get a smaller dollop of cream as a blessing, or it'll take it a bit longer for it to come. But he cares and he loves each of us. And even when we are unfaithful, he is always faithful. He can't do anything else. He is a righteous God and he loves us. Giving by faith is when we give freely to the Lord, resting on him and realizing that he is no man's debtor. We cannot give him what he hasn't already given us. So really all we are doing is being good stewards of what he gives us when we return to him a tithe. I like that verse that we read earlier in 11 verse 4b. I'm just going to read the back part of it. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. After I'd finished this, I was sitting reading my sermon over, as I always do, and the Lord said, "Have you considered putting this in?" And I didn't have to consider it. I should have put it in. I should not have omitted it in the first place. Mark 12, 41 to 44, if you want to take a note. It's the widow's offering. I'm sure you know the story. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor woman has put into the treasury more than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Wow. What faith, eh? Could you have such faith? I doubt it. I doubt if I could. You know, but one day we're going to. Because you come into this world with nothing, and you go out of it with nothing. And there's no pockets and shrouds. So don't build up your treasures here. Build up the treasures where your permanent address is going to be. And your permanent address, if you know the Lord, isn't going to be here. Moving on to the fourth point, faith enables us to keep going, to persist, even when we don't feel like it. It's a fact that in today's culture, people base everything they do on feelings. If they feel like doing something, they do it. If they don't feel like doing it, meh, they don't do it. But if you're a Christian and that's your attitude, then the only guarantee that formula has is that spiritually you're not going to grow. You're going to be spiritually immature. When we base our lives on our feelings, we can end up being manipulated by the crowd. "Oh, I can't say that. It might hurt someone." When you know it might be the thing that saves them. You're telling them about the Lord. So feelings are fine, but don't let them rule you. Let faith rule your decisions in life. Mood swings can swing around. One minute they're upbeat and you're full of the joys of spring, which we've seen this morning, or the next time you're down in the dumps. And it happens to us all from time to time. The truth is, we don't always feel like being nice. I know I don't. I don't always feel like spending time with people. I don't always feel like praying or reading my Bible. But the issue is not what we don't do, but it's more about, do we do the right thing? Don't do what you feel. Do the right thing. And the right thing is spend time with the Lord. Get into his word. Speak to him. And remember, he is your heavenly Father. You don't need a lot of religiosity when you talk to him. You can talk to him man to man, you know, and he knows what you want to say before you say it anyway. But it's a fact. The only people who are successful in this life, there's only one way they achieve success. And it's because they do what others don't feel like doing. They develop habits that others don't want, like hard work, thinking, getting sore heads, trying to work out problems. But if they didn't use their time wisely, if they weren't persistent and sharpened their skills to excel, would they have? I don't think so. To excel at any discipline, can you guess what's required? Simple, discipline. And I like discipline because if you're a child of God, God disciplines us. And discipline comes from discipleship. You ever thought of that? It's disciple, discipline, and discipleship. They were disciplined by Christ, the disciples. And if we're disciples, we are disciplined by Christ. But when do you recognize that? If you're not reading his word, if you're not in communication with him, you can be oblivious to it and miss out. Super salespeople don't just make calls, especially their telephone salespeople. When they're in a good mood, they normally phone you up whenever you're at your tea or something like that there, you know. But they're super salespeople because they put in the effort and they take the abuse and they don't care about it annoying you. But they do what they tend to do. But godly men and women don't get that way just by feeling. No, they grow in their faith by spending time, daily time with the Lord, reading and praying. In fact, I would suggest that you pray before you read and then pray after you read, because you'll probably find yourself praying for inspiration to start with and then praying for forgiveness after you've done the reading. You know, but that's all about growth. You know, you need to be expanding. You need to be cut down at times. You need to spend time reading your prayer as well. The Lord's Prayer. If you go through the Lord's Prayer and break it down, you could do about 3 sermons at least on the Lord's Prayer in sections, because he speaks right through it. But as I say, the true Christian needs to discipline themselves. To do whatever they feel like is not a question. They've got to do it whether they feel like it or not. It should be a routine. That's how to please God. Do you ever wonder if you were phoning a friend on a certain night of the week between a certain time and you didn't phone them, how that person would feel? How would you feel if someone was going to phone you between a certain time on a Wednesday night because you go out to Bible study at 7 o'clock and they didn't phone and you were looking forward to it all day? You'd feel upset, wouldn't you? How do you think the Lord feels when we don't communicate with him? Okay, he hasn't got a time because he's timeless. But I think he's aware of when we respond to him and not. Enough of that. We'll move on to the last piece, you'll be pleased to know. And this is something which at times it took me to get my head around quite a lot of times. Faith is thanking God for his provision before we receive it. You know, we know that all of God's promises are yes and amen. So when we pray about something that's on our heart, something that the Spirit forces us to relate to the Lord, that we've got to believe that prayer will be answered. And it will be answered. you can guarantee it'll be answered. Maybe not the way you think it'll be answered, but it'll be answered the proper way, the way that fits in with God's plan. And we need to thank him for his provision before we receive it. Noah is an example of this, as we read this morning from Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. See, he didn't see the flood, but the Lord told him to build an ark and to gather up the animals to go into it. And he gave him the dimensions of the ark. Everything, all the planning was there, but it was only there because Noah was in communication with the Lord, and he took the Lord's word and worked on it. He was laughed at, as we read in the scripture. All his neighbours thought he was mad. They didn't want anything to do with it. I bet you they weren't laughing when they saw the floods and they saw the ark floating away. Jesus to his disciples in Mark 11 and 24 makes it clear that we should thank beforehand. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Not that you will receive it, that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, that's what faith is, believing that you've received it. If you wait until you've received it, the answer to your prayer, before thanking God, is that faith? No, that's gratitude. There's a difference. That's feelings again. Gratitude, that thing, you know, thank you. I'm grateful for that. But faith, you praise God for it before you receive it. Today, some of us, me included, may be trying to deal with full-time problems on part-time faith. Well, folks, it just won't work. We need to have a full-time, head-on, born-again faith. That is what's required to deal with all of the problems, and we are going to encounter problems in this world, especially as Christians. The only way of achieving what God has planned for us is to establish an ongoing relationship with the Lord under the cover of the righteousness of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We need to put our trust in him and only him for our provisions. Then and only then will we enjoy his peace, his perfect peace that passeth all understanding. In verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it tells us, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So this morning I want to encourage you all to earnestly seek him, to put him at the top of the list, top of the priority, because you are his number one priority. He loved you individually enough to send his son. And his son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was willing to go to that cross for each one of us individually. We have got an individual relationship with the Lord. It's not a cooperative. It's not a church. A church is part of the body. Yeah? And we are part of the body if we belong to the Lord. And I want to Just close with this one reading from Romans 10, 17. And it tells it all. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you loved us first, and you loved us so much that you sent your Son to be the lamb, sacrificial lamb, for each one of us here and each one of those people listening to this message, wherever they are. And it is up to them whether they accept your precious gift of Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But Lord, I just pray that you will speak into their hearts, soften their hearts, and open their minds to seek you, to listen to your voice, and to come to know their Lord and Savior as their own personal Savior. Because without you, Lord, we can do nothing. So I just pray you be with us, Lord. Keep your hand upon us. Help us to be faithful in this congregation, this small gathering that we have this morning. Let us not be concerned about numbers, because your word tells us we're one or two gathered in your name. You'll be there in the midst. And we say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.